A reading from Genesis. God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." Word of God, the word of life. Thanks be to God. Now, in this Lenten season, after our scripture reading, we're going to invite you into a period of silence. I'll just open that with a few words tonight. During this time, which will extend a little bit each week as we get further and further into Lent, I invite you just to sit with this story which you have heard, and to, with your spirits, just sort of pour yourself over it. And look for the places where you respond, where it responds to you, where it speaks to your life, like a magnet going over treasure. What's getting pulled up by this story? And spend that time in silence, just sort of dwelling in that story again. So I'll begin our time of silence and end it with a chime. Does God make mistakes? A theology professor I know posted this question this week to her students online, asking them to dwell in that question and wonder about it, and wonder about the implications of the answers they might give. Does God make mistakes? Certainly, one reading of Scripture might make it look so. In the Genesis story, God has created humanity. In this flourishing creation, God has looked at it all and looked at it and said, "This is very good." That's in chapter 1. By chapter 5 of Genesis, God is looking at humanity and saying, "Oh, what did I do?" I'll read the verse. People began to multiply. And God says, "I am very sorry that I have made humankind, because I look out and I see the wickedness of humankind, which is great in the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of their hearts was only evil continually, and it grieved God to their heart. I regret that I have made them." This is the moment that sets up the flood. There are other places in Scripture where it talks about God's regret. Later on in the book of Samuel, God will say, "I regret that I made Saul king. He's not a very good king. I need to raise up another one, David." But in this, we see God experiencing this regret, this human emotion of feeling sorry. Scriptures talk about God having this feeling and then working to sort of course correct along the way. But God doesn't quite say, "I made a mistake." They're not quite the same. And I want to tease that out just a little bit tonight. I wonder if God also felt regret in making Adam and Eve in the garden in chapter 2 of Genesis. We have this other creation story where Adam and Eve are all there, formed, made, alone. God says, "You can do whatever you want, except for one thing. Don't do that thing. That one tree, don't have that tree. You can have any other tree, not that one. And now that I've given you that one rule, that button that says do not push on it, and it's big and red, I'm going to leave for a little bit. Just see what happens." Did God regret leaving them to their freedom? I don't know. I don't know if God had that planned, but I don't know if the fact that it didn't go perfectly means that God made a mistake. There was a boy who was seeing his parents fight a lot. They fought so much, they ended up getting divorced, and after the divorce, they fought even more. And one day, after a big and contentious fight, the boy asked his dad if he ever regretted getting married to his mom. "No. It wasn't a mistake. I don't regret it. Because if I hadn't, I wouldn't have had you." In these acts, even in the breaking of them, in these acts of give and take, of freedom and letting go and then coming back and hurt in the ways that people have fallen away from that relationship that God created them to have, there is a story being told over and over again in Scripture of God finding a way forward, even when everything looks wrong. I don't know necessarily if God makes mistakes. I don't know if I can fit that into my theology. But I can fit the fact that God gives us enough space to make plenty of our own. And that in that giving us space, in that granting us freedom, in that liberation of us to live and to love and to seek it out on our own terms, there is indeed a divine love at the core of it. And that love is something that, if God didn't allow us that freedom to make mistakes, if God didn't give us the space to do it, then neither would we have the freedom to love. Neither would we have the freedom to return that love in truth. Because love is always something that is offered. It's never something demanded. It's never something controlled. It's never something imposed. God gives us enough space to make plenty of mistakes. But I don't know that God makes any. In the book that we studied last fall, Transforming the Bible and the Lives of Transgender Christians, the book begins with the author, Austin Hartke, dwelling for a moment on this question. Did God make a mistake in making me? I know myself to be male, but I was born female. Is that a mistake that God has made? And there is a wrestling with this question. And it's a question, too, that others in the transgender community have wrestled with. A wondering, am I a mistake? Because if we have a theology that God can make mistakes, then we also end up with a practice of categorizing people as mistakes that God has made. Maybe even categorizing ourselves in that category. But I know deep down, in the marrow of my bones, in the depths of my spirit, I know from the love that comes across in Scripture, I know from the rainbow in each drop, that I am not a mistake, and that you are not a mistake. God doesn't make mistakes. But instead, there is a purpose in every inch of life, in every stone, in every grain of sand. It may indeed look like a grand mass of chaos at times, but hidden behind that mask of uncertainty, there is a deed, a purpose. But the secret at the center of the universe is that at the center of our existence, there is a personality in God. A personality that loves us, that cares for us, and that creates alongside us. And even when we screw up, even when we make mistakes, even when it seems all of humanity can make nothing but mistakes, God still finds a way forward. God finds a way to recreate, to breathe new life again. And that's really the story of Noah and the flood. That's really the story of what is going on here. The truth at the core of this biblical message is that even when humanity can do nothing right, God finds a way to make something beautiful out of it. The storm clouds eventually part. The floodwaters eventually dry up. And God says, look out at the sky. You see that rainbow shining? The rainbow that is the light coming through all the droplets of water that have brought this death, brought this destruction, brought this flood. Hidden in each one of those droplets is this promise. It's a promise of beauty. It's a promise of love. It's no wonder that the rainbow is becoming such a symbol of love, that it's something that communities that have been ostracized or told they don't belong have grabbed onto. Communities like the queer community, like the transgender community. A rainbow that represents the diversity of all human life. All of the fantastic and wonderful ways that it shows up. But not just of human life, but of all life. The rainbow speaks to this promise that God makes with Noah, but not just with Noah, but also Noah's children, but not just with Noah's children, but all flesh. Every creeping thing that crept out of that ark, every bird of the sky, every fish in the sea, every animal on the dry land, all of it is the recipient of this new promise that God makes. That I will always remember you and care for you and love you. But the diversity of the world that God makes is on purpose. And ultimately, that's where Austin Hartke ends up, at the beginning of his book, Transforming, saying, for me, I don't believe God makes mistakes. I don't believe I am a mistake. I believe that I'm part of this wonderful diversity of the world. Dear people, so are you. Amen.